The Glad Tidings. In these closing verses of Zechariah 8, we have the direct answer to the question set forth in Zechariah 7. We saw there that the answer of the Lord was rather a rebuke as to the fast, a question to them instead of an answer to their inquiry. But here is the positive reply, a beautiful answer to their question. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth month, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts, therefore love, truth, and peace. Zechariah 8, verse 19. Here is good news. These four set times, fast days, which were kept by the Jews in remembrance of the four different calamities which overtook them, shall be turned to feasts. The taking of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar in the 11th year of Zedekiah's reign, 587 B.C., Jeremiah 52, 6 and 7, was celebrated in the 9th day of the 4th month, while the destruction of the city and temple was remembered in the 5th month. Other happenings also were celebrated in that month. The fast of the 7th month was appointed for the murder of Gedaliah, 2 Kings 25, while that of the 10th month was to remind them of the beginning of the siege of Jerusalem, which finally culminated in its fall, 2 Kings 25 verses 1 through 21, Jeremiah 39 verse 1, and Ezekiel 24 verses 1 and 2. All those dates are still observed as fasts by the Jewish nation in all parts of the earth, for it is still the night of sorrow for Jehovah's chosen people. But their weeping is almost over. It is to be followed by a morning of joy when the word of the Lord is fulfilled in their deliverance and blessing. The prophet says to the remnant, these fasts shall be to the house of Judah joy and blessing and cheerful feasts. It is wonderful news. As they have been the nation of sorrow and acquainted with grief, so shall they be the nation of joy, filled with the blessing of the Lord. The history of the Jew has a correspondence with that of Jesus. He was the obedient servant, suffering for others' sins. They are the disobedient servants, suffering for their own sins. There are many points of resemblance between the Jewish nation and Christ, the most startling and emphatic of which is that they both come into their place in exaltation upon the earth at the same time. It will then be possible for the Jews to obey Zechariah's exhortation, therefore love, truth, and peace. They will be associated in life and service with their Messiah and the King, the way, the truth, and the life, and the way of peace they will follow. Notice the results of Israel's return to the Lord and his return to his people. It shall come to pass that there shall come peoples and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another city, saying, let us go speedily and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Zechariah 8 verses 20 and 21. These statements are prefaced by, thus saith the Lord. However unlikely and impossible they appear to the natural man of this 19th century, nevertheless these prophecies shall all come to pass. There shall come peoples, a collective word, and inhabitants of many great cities, and the one inhabitant will witness to another and seek to speedily get him up to Jerusalem, even as we testify to sinners today and endeavor to get them interested in the Lord and his salvation. Let us go, or be going, they will cry. The word go has the thought of perseverance, of a going on, for it may be a difficult, long journey in some cases before they reach the haven of their hopes, the blessed goal of their ambitions. I will go also is the answer. It expresses the eagerness and mutual desire with which not one but many mighty nations shall flock to the gospel call in those days. The time of flabby indifference will be over. The laborers will be on fire to win souls for the kingdom. They will not just be satisfied with their own salvation and be careless of the salvation of others. They shall labor unceasingly, filled with divine love, to bring all to the knowledge of the Lord. Their success will be phenomenal, like the draught of fishes which Peter caught when he cast his net on the right side, Luke 5, verses 5 and 6. There was a hint of these wonderful results in the beginning of this dispensation. Witness Peter's gospel net and its gathering on the day of Pentecost, when the Jewish feast of harvest had fully come, Acts 2, verse 41. Also later, at his second letting down of the net into the midst of the people, Acts 4, verse 4. Great multitudes were caught in its meshes of salvation. Likewise, in the latter days, numbers will be saved and begin to wend their way to the city of the great king to entreat the favor of Judah's Messiah. The scorned, mistreated, persecuted Jews will have their inning at last. Their kinsman redeemer will be the ruler, the despot of the world, the only potentate, the Lord of lords and King of kings, to whom every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess him, Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The truth of the above is embodied in every prophet of the holy writings. We read both in Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 3, and Micah 4, verses 1 and 2. And it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many peoples shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 3, Revised Version. But in the latter days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow in unto it. And many nations shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This marvelous condition of blessedness is to take place after the restoration and conversion of Israel, and not before. The Jew is to have his place on the program of the age before other nations can come into blessing. The conversion of the world will never come prior to the conversion of the Jew. When Jehovah will have mercy upon Jacob and choose Israel again and set him in his own land after the long centuries of darkness, he shall be as a firebrand to the rest of the nations. Then it shall be that all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Numbers 14:21. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11, verse 9. Note the connection in these two citations, far apart in the scriptures. The glory of the Lord is conditional upon the knowledge of the Lord. The one follows the other, either individually or collectively. The above is all confirmed and made emphatic in the last verse of our chapter. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go up with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Zechariah 8, verse 23. The number 10 in Scripture has the meaning of responsibility according to ability. Hence, here it may refer to the great multitude of the nations who will then feel their responsibility to heed the gospel of the kingdom. 10 out of all the languages of the nations may teach the fact that there will be that number of nations speaking different languages in the world at that juncture who will have escaped the judgment which will fall upon the other powers because of their believing attitude toward the Jew. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 45. These are said to take hold of the skirt or corner of the long flowing garments, which were the habiliments of men of the East. Among the Jews, as one of them has declared, to each of the four parts of the outer garment, fringes, tassels of blue, were attached, and this may be what is referred to in this place. It was said to be a sign that the wearer was a Jew. It is said that 10 men, representative men, would so take hold with firm determination to accompany the Jew who is himself represented as journeying to Jerusalem. The Jew will not only believe in one God, which is his boast now, but will be so divinely associated and united with him that when a Gentile convert subscribes himself by the name of Jacob, it will be equivalent to saying, "I am the Lord's," and for him to call himself by the name of Israel will signify that he is acknowledging the Lord. Isaiah 44 verses 1 through 5. Christ, the anointed of Israel, is a Jew, but he is also the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, who took upon him the seed of Israel. Hence, the Jew is bound up in a bundle of life with the Lord his God. The Holy One of Israel shall dwell in the midst of them, and holiness unto Jehovah shall be written upon all that they possess, as the prophet informs us in Zechariah 14, verses 20 through 21. The Gentile nations will honor them as the priests of the Lord, the ministers of our God, and cleave unto them as the appointed heralds of salvation and instruments of blessing, saying, "We will go with you, for we have heard that your God is with you."